there. Welcome to What's the Truth? My name is Jessica Hoddle, and I'm so glad that you're here. Today, we're going to be talking about faith, life, and who you are beyond motherhood. Today's special guest is Sarah Bragg, and I am not a mom, but I love bringing on other moms to talk about being a mom, motherhood, faith, God, life, all of those things. And Sarah's a perfect person because she has a great book coming out that we're going to be talking about today. But let me just tell you a little bit about Sarah before we begin. She's a popular podcast host, she's a communicator, and she's an author. Her podcast title is Surviving Sarah, and her most recent book is A Mother's Guide to Raising Herself, What Parenting Taught Me About Life, Faith, and Myself. What I love about today's episode with Sarah is we really talk about identity. We talk about who we are separate from the titles that the world gives us, even though those titles are great, like wife and mom. So even if you're not a mom, I understand, but continue to listen because we all go through seasons and change, and I believe that there's always something for us to learn, even if we're not in those seasons. I also cannot wait to share more details with you about my new book, the title and the cover with all of you so soon. I promise I have a book launching this fall, and I could not be more excited to just share with you. If you have been here for any length of time or you're new, just a brief story that I've been writing this book since 2019. It has been through 4 rewrites, and I'm just beyond excited for you to get it in your hands. But if you want just a baby sneak peek of what this book is about, make sure you head to the show notes and get my Chase God, Not Your Feelings guide. Now, that's not the title of the book. That's not a chapter of the book, but I have this amazing guide walking you through how to chase God and not living by what you feel. So you want to live by faith and not by your feelings. So make sure you head to the show notes, sign up, get your free guide. Then that way you'll be for sure getting noticed whenever the free chapter and all the goodies get released. So before we get into the episode, I also want to make sure that you hit that little follow button right up there on the podcast app, wherever you're listening, iTunes or Spotify, just hit that follow button so you get notified for all the episodes that come out. Without further ado, let's go ahead and get to the interview. Sarah, I am so just thankful that you're here with us. I actually am not a mom, so I love having other moms on the podcast because I know moms listen to this show. And I think that, you know, your new book coming out is so important. So why don't you first tell us what the title of your book is and why you decided to write this book?
Okay. Well, I am so happy to be here and gosh, I can already tell that we chatted before and I'm like, oh, we'll have a good conversation. It'd be fun. My book is called A Mother's Guide to Raising Herself, What Parenting Taught Me About Life, Faith, and Myself. And the book is really almost like a coming of age book, even though I'm in my 40s, but I think that's where it kind of entered. I think for many of us, we go through these seasons of major growth and development, you know, like toddlers, they talk about how like 2-year-olds, their brains are developing so fast that they can't keep up. They don't remember things. They're constantly forgetting things. And then middle school is the same way. You know, I have 2 middle school girls right now and their brains are they're developing so quickly. They call it cognitive pruning, where you have to, your brain literally is like having to make room for how much you're learning and growing and developing. So it's forgetting other things. That's why they never remember to, like, you know, put their towel on the hook, not on the floor, like all those kind of things that we as moms are constantly like, feel like we're nagging about. And I feel like, I think everybody goes through these like middle school seasons along through life. Like, I feel like leaving college is kind of one of those seasons. I think different transitions into adulthood, like even entering into your 30s, can feel like that. And so this book really is, I feel like, what happened through different kind of coming of age moments. I think becoming a mom for me was really one of those catalysts of growing up and changing and becoming, and really having to look at some of the hard things of life, some of my own uncertainties and my own fears and tendencies towards perfectionism, all of those things, inauthenticity, and motherhood just highlighted them all and started like pushing all of those buttons. And it was kind of like a middle school moment of going, okay, you're going to, this is like, we're learning and we're growing a lot. Like, what are we going to do with it? And so this book is kind of the overflow of that. I've always been a writer and have loved to write. And so when it came time, I don't know, I had that inside me going, you need to write again. I used to write a lot earlier in life, and it was going, it's time to write. It's time to try to do this again. And that's just what was coming out, was all of this that I've been growing up and these kind of coming of age. It's a midlife. I'm in my 40s now. And so, you know, there's just a lot that I've learned to this point. And that was what really I wanted to pass along to other women.
Yeah, no, I think that's beautiful. And something that you said about the different seasons, and I think no matter if you're mom or not, there's everybody goes through these seasons. And something that you said, I think to encourage maybe the moms that have really little ones, where you were talking about the different stages and how the brain develops, and to not lose patience in that. So can you maybe just even speak to that a little bit, of not like the repetition is required, and to not get weary in that because you're helping their brains develop. Can you just encourage maybe some moms out there with littles, or you know, the stage that you are in, even with your children?
Oh my goodness. First of all, let me just pour one out for my homie. Like, I mean, I raise my glass to you. Like, it is just, it is not easy. I just want to say that even knowing that their brain, this is what is like actually happening in their brain, does not make it any easier. Like, I still lose my mind. Like, I'll like, be good. Okay, this is just, you know, this is normal. This is part of development. And then I'm like, if I have to see that towel on the floor one more time, I'm going to kick you all out of the house. Like, it's just like, you know, it's still, so I guess I want to say, first of all, like, you know, it's okay that it's not easy, but it's true. I think one of the things that has helped me, I wish that would have understood this when my girls were little in that age, because it is so trying and it is so taxing, is that they're just humans. Like, you're literally raising humans. And so there's a level of like development and growth. And so this is part, it's not that this 2-year-old's trying to just wage war against your sanity, which it often feels that way. But it's just, they're just 2, and their brain is developing so fast that it's like they can't keep up with it. And so this is their training ground. And as much as it feels exhausting that we are being repetitive, have to say this again for the 100th time, this is just part of their training. So it's very normal. It is not like your kid is just going to end up in jail one day because they can't pick up their Legos, right? Like, this is so normal. Or middle schoolers, it is hard because you think, gosh, at this point, I've been telling you how to do this or how to be a citizen of our home for like 13 years and you still don't have it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's easy to have that posture. I get into that posture all the time, but again, it's helpful to go, okay, this is normal. They are taking in so much information that it is like scientifically proven that they are forgetting things. Like, they are genuinely not trying to just, you know, be a renegade in the house. They are genuinely scientifically proven to be forgetful at this age. So that helps me to have some empathy. I still, you know, throw empathy out the door sometimes. And I'm like, I just need you to like do your part. But that really does help to go, this is normal in these seasons. I think that's probably one of the greatest things. I think, you know, I have my podcast, Surviving Sarah, and it's been going for like 7 years, is all of these experts I've had on that have talked about those things. Literally, I think that has been one of the biggest pieces that of good things that I have walked away from hosting that show, is this kind of information about developmental, what's happening during these years. Cause it really does help me to go, oh, okay, they are humans. This is how humans develop. This is the milestones they reach. This is very normal. And so maybe that'll be some encouragement to those moms in those seasons.
Well, I think it definitely is, because, you know, I work with a lot of moms, and the common thing is they feel like a bad mom, and because they feel like they're constantly saying the same thing over. So they feel like they're not teaching them or learning. And so then they internalize that and go, well, I'm a bad mom, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think that definitely can encourage the moms out there. And one of the chapters in your book, you call it Tell the Truth. And I love how you kind of open it up about, you know, we're told, tell your kids the truth. And leading with the truth to tell yourself, you began to discover like, well, who am I really? You began to question yourself in this. So why don't you kind of talk about how you began to wrestle with who you were?
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny. The funny little bit about this book, I opened that chapter with some actual phrases that have like come out of my mouth towards my girls. And when my girls read that, my youngest Rory, she was holding the book in her hand and she was reading the opening like paragraph and she was just laughing. Cause it was like, you know, okay, who ate the last of the Reese's cups? Tell the truth. You know, or who threw a shoe at your sister, or did you throw a shoe at your sister? Tell the truth. And she just laughed. She's like, Sinclair, that was you. You know, you threw the shoe. Like, you know, it was just,
yeah.
But I was saying that because like as moms, how many times a day do we say, okay, tell the truth? Like literally, like what is happening here? Like tell the truth. But I realized that I was like, the girls were so afraid to tell the truth because they feared punishment. They feared they were going to get in trouble if I tell the truth, because then it's like, I've been caught of what I've done. And I started thinking about that. And so this was like practical parenting moments. And I started telling my girls, I was saying, and this is when they were probably, I don't know, a little bit older, like kid, big kid. And I was like, okay, if you tell the truth, you will not get punished. Like if I don't have to like catch you in this, if you come to me and you tell the truth, you will not be punished. Cause I started going, I want to value telling the truth. I don't want them to be afraid to be 16 and to tell the truth of something that happened. I want them to be confident that, you know, yes, there may be consequences, that there may be natural consequences that fall from certain actions, but I didn't want them to be afraid to tell the truth. So then that started making me look at myself. And I started going, well, I'm kind of afraid to tell the truth. Like I'm always like, whether it's just in actions, I'm always afraid of punishment. But then I went a little bit deeper and I thought, I'm kind of afraid to tell the truth of who I am. Mm-hmm. I think it's easy for us as women, especially to just get to a season of life where you're just kind of following along on a path. You're like, and then you wake up and you go, How did I get here? And who am I really? It goes back to what we said in the beginning that's what questions we're asking in middle school. You're asking those questions when you leave college. These are certain questions that you're asking along the way when you feel like I kind of lost sight of who I am. And I realized that, you know, you get into these kind of groups and you go, well, to fit in, I'm supposed to be this way, or I'm supposed to like this or believe this or talk this way or think this way, but that's not really who I am. And I started, and maybe it's the beauty of midlife, but of just really going, I'm tired of having to pretend that, you know, I think this way or I want to do this thing. And so I was like, I'm going to start telling the truth. I want to match what is on the inside to what is on the outside. That to me is what telling the truth is having that congruency of what's going on inside and outside. And so for me, I just started small. I was like, if I want to get to like big things, like what I believe or what I think, or, you know, who am I, like, well, what do I, on the small little thing, who am I? Like, you know, I don't like eating breakfast. That's an easy one to start with. I was like, you know what? Like everybody's like, can we meet for breakfast? I'm like, I mean, I'll drink coffee, but I don't want breakfast food at like 6 a.m. Like, don't give it to me. Like, yeah. And that sounds so silly. Like, you know what I mean? It's such a little example, but it's like, start telling the truth on the little things so that you can then tell the truth on the bigger things. It's like that building some muscle, like building it in little ways. Or like, I think, you know, Starbucks is my local coffee shop. Like I will choose it over any other local coffee shop because it's mine. And then, but that's so little, but then that helped me to be able to tell the truth on bigger things, like what I believe about certain things or who I am now, like, how do I want to respond to certain people? What makes me feel comfortable? What boundaries do I need to set? Like those are all bigger things, but telling the truth on the little bits about me helped me to begin to tell the truth about the bigger things about me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's really good. And I think probably a lot of moms are kind of beginning to question, well, what do I really like apart from being a mom?
Yes.
Because I've learned, you know, again, working with a lot of moms, the identity piece that comes into that of if we're not fully invested or we don't literally change who we are just to be that mom, then we feel, well, who am I apart from being a mom? Right. And I feel like that's what you're really challenging women is to not lose their identity in Christ, right?
Right.
And to not lose who they are, the things that they love, even though their mom. Would you agree with that?
Yeah. You know, it's funny. Like I had this picture in my mind of what a good mom, like air quote, good mom is supposed to be. And it's supposed to be a mom who just wants to be with her kids all the time, doesn't ever want to leave them, wants to spend like Saturday morning snuggled in the bed with them. Like, no, like that is not who I am, but I pretended to be this thing because I kept going, I feel like this is what moms are supposed to be. So I kind of pretended and performed and thought, I guess this is how it is. And maybe like, I don't know, like, but it just never felt like me. That's not, those things aren't wrong. There are plenty of moms out there that want to spend time with their kids all the time, want to not leave them, want to sit in bed with them. And that's fine if that's who they are, but it wasn't who I was. Mm-hmm. And I was becoming more and more miserable. And I think resentment was building up even towards my kids or towards other friends who were doing the same thing, but they seemed to be like happy about doing it. And I was like, well, why am I not like that? Why am I? And so that resentment was building up. So the moment that I started going, just because I don't want to spend Saturday morning in bed with them does not make me wrong, does not make my identity wrong. It's going, just who am I? Like, how can I be my most authentic self with my kids so that they see the real me? And that I feel more confident in just kind of my identity. And I love what you said too, is it's easy to just forget the things that you love to do. That's what we're saying. Like, you know, you love to, maybe you love to read your book on Saturday mornings with the coffee by yourself. That's me. Like, let me just like hide in a corner and read for a little bit with quiet. But again, I gave that up when my girls were little because I thought, well, I just need to be like with them. And it's going, no, like this, I've always been this way. That didn't change when I had kids. It wasn't like a magic, you know, someone put a magic spell on me. And now I no longer like to read books in bed alone. Like, you know, and same with being like married. I think a lot of us go through that same identity shift. We forget when we're newly married, kind of who we are as a person. And we kind of try to be who, oh, I think a good wife is this or a good partner is this. And so it really is going back to what makes you smile. Like, what brings you life? What do you enjoy? And what do you not enjoy? And asking those kind of questions, what does not bring you life? And then, you know, obviously sometimes people will be like, well, work doesn't bring me life. Well, we also need to pay bills. So we have to like balance that, right?
Yeah.
But of just not losing ourselves and in this season when everything is so taxing. And so it's so easy to get wrapped up in someone else or what you think you should be or what you think someone else wants you to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm thinking that the mom is probably thinking how amazing that sounds. Like, oh yeah, that's so great. I do want to read a book, but how they probably talk themselves out of it. So mm-hmm. how did you talk yourself into it?
Yeah.
That it was okay. And creating the margin space for that. Cause I think that's probably what the biggest thing is of, well, how do I create this space or this margin so that I can be a better mom?
Yeah. I think we have to tackle the untruth that anything that you do for yourself is selfish. That's an untruth. And so to go, it's easy for a mom to believe, well, reading a book by myself instead of choosing to sit with my child, that really seems selfish. When the reality is, I'm a better mom when I take a little bit of time for myself to breathe, to think, to have a little bit of reprieve. I come back and I love better. When the more I love myself well, the better I love others well. And I think that it just goes hand in hand. Love your neighbor as yourself. It goes hand in hand. And so I think kind of wrestling with that, going, am I thinking that? Like, not everybody thinks that untruth, but like just kind of sitting with that. And then just making a list of those things and going, gosh, am I really like, you know, just sitting and drinking coffee alone with a book? Is that like morally wrong? Like, you know what I mean? Like, let's like, you know, no, it's not. So kind of going through those things. And then it's just a matter of, you know, prioritizing it in a way. Like, I remember when my girls were little, and they would, and I was like, you know what? I want, you know, 15 to 30 minutes, whatever it is, by myself and drink my coffee alone. Because if I have to speak to someone before I have coffee, I will not be kind, because coffee makes me kind. That's just a life motto. So what I would do is if someone started walking out, like I literally like pointed at them and was like, turn it around and go back in your room. Like, I will love you in 30 minutes. Like, it'll be fine. Like, and just training them of going, this is some of my time. And if it meant me in certain seasons waking up a little bit earlier, I still get up, you know, at least 30 minutes before my girls get up, just because I do want to be present in the morning while they're getting ready for school. I want to be helpful and present in those ways, but it also means I've got to get up early. So I think it's just, kind of going, if that's what I want now, let me just try to work it into my schedule. My girls were little, they had those alarm clocks that would like light up when it, cause they couldn't tell time, when they were little, would light up when it was okay to come out. And I went and spent all this money on alarm clocks that did that. And like, here's your cue. You may enter, into the living room at this point of the day. And so I think it's just a matter of doing something like that, of going, let's just start small, like it doesn't have to be this huge thing. You're like, maybe I love playing pickleball. Now I'm going to join a team and I'm going to be like on a traveling team as a 30 year old. It doesn't have to be big. You can start small somewhere. I think that's, especially when you're used to not kind of, doing anything for yourself. Sometimes it's better to just start small. It literally doesn't have to be a lot. It doesn't take much to bring a little bit of life to me, genuinely. Like, give me a cup of coffee and set me with a view and I'll be fine. Like, what I mean? That's small. And we can start in those little ways of finding things that are kind of who we are and that bring us life. And we don't have to overhaul the whole system.
I think that's a really good practical tip, because so many people, it's all or nothing.
Right.
And they think, well, if I can't do this, then I'm just never going to be able to do it. And I'll just have to wait until my kids leave the house. And then, when kids leave the house, you often hear about how people just don't know who they are anymore. And I think there's this beautiful balance of staying to your identity in Christ and the things that He's gifted and called you with, as you raise, these arrows, these young children into adults. And so, one of the things that you talk about in your book is practice noticing the ordinary. Why don't you just kind of take us home with how moms can just practice the ordinary of recognizing that and honoring that and finding joy and peace in that?
Yes. And it's not hard. I love extraordinary. I want to always feel something extraordinary, and that's it. Those are the moments that you're like, I feel great. This was awesome. I'm so happy when we have those extraordinary moments. That ordinary is hard, but the truth is, not just moms, the majority of our life and our daily lives are just very ordinary. And so we have to start learning to appreciate that ordinary, because that is just where we are. Like, that is, the majority of our life. And so for me, that looks like a gratitude practice. And I always shied away from gratitude practices when I would hear that. I always thought, again, like what you just said, all or nothing. Oh, well, it's got to be 1,000 things or nothing. I just couldn't. I was like trying to like list out. I had it all numbered and I was, I could never do it. I could never do it. But when I started going, okay, what are some things that made me smile today? I started asking that question to myself and to my girls. I realized that the majority of things that made me smile were just very ordinary things. I feel like coffee is always on my gratitude list, but it might be like an extra cup of coffee, or, we have horses. And so like, gosh, watching these horses through the kitchen window made me smile. Like, when I literally framed it like that, of what made me smile today, there's so much beauty in all the ordinary things. And so I think that is when we were talking before we started recording, my daughter, she is sick. And I was like, and we were having to cancel all of these fun things that we had planned. And I'm just been sitting in disappointment. And even just this morning in my journal, I was honest and I was writing out how I was feeling. I'm feeling disappointed. I'm feeling frustrated, but I want to see what makes me smile. Like, remember what made you smile today? And I just started listing out the things that were making me smile, because I know that it's a conscious choice of noticing the ordinary, noticing what makes us smile. It will bring joy. It will bring happiness and a sense of peace. And so even in the midst of feeling disappointed, and then especially, I think it's heightened that we need to take time to notice the ordinary, to practice that gratitude. Because I do think those are the things that will change our heart over time, is being intentional about noticing that.
Yeah. I think intentional is the key word there. I think putting our phones down so that we can look up and see the beautiful things that we have, because the more separation you create from social media or false, I don't want to say idols, but just, things in our lives that think they bring us joy mm-hmm. per se.
Yeah.
But actually steal us from thinking we're a bad mom or we have to do all these yeah. things because this person and this quiet time. And, you know, I mean, it's like, oh, how does she do it? And I can't do it. And right. that perfect lunch, you know, that has star shaped sandwiches.
I always wanted to be that mom.
And so I think that, you know, what this book is about is really just encouraging that mom. And so where can women find this book?
Yeah.
And where can they find you?
Yes. Well, they can find it anywhere books are sold. So wherever you like to buy books, whether that's, you know, independent resellers or Amazon, because it's like, let's be honest, like we just need someone to deliver it to the door because, you know, please don't make me get it out in a car with children. So anywhere you can buy it, A Mother's Guide to Raising Yourself. I'm just excited to get this in the hands of moms whenever it happens.
Awesome. I'll make sure to include the link below so that people yeah. can just go and get it.
Yes.
So thank you so much, Shara, for just being here and encouraging moms. We need to remember that they're not alone.
Right.
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 And that they're not crazy and they're not a bad mom.
Right. Because I keep going, I mean, they might be, oh, if she's crazy, then at least we're not the only crazy ones, right?
Yeah.
We can be crazy
yeah.
together.
And it's subjective, right?
Yes.
So I
yes.
think just thank you for being here to encourage the moms on my show.
Oh, thanks for having me.